Now, let's be honest. You probably downloaded this episode without a clue of what's to come. You probably looked at the title and thought, what the hell is this? What am I getting myself into? But let me explain. This episode is for me, personally. In series one, I told the team that I really wanted to do an episode on grief. It was very important to me. The same goes for this one. I know it's not everyone's bag, and I know some people will see this kind of thing and listen and think, nah, it's not for me. But it's something that I'm really passionate about, and the team have gifted me with an episode on crystals, on angels, on other realms, on numerology, on all the wonderful stuff. So before you remove this from your downloads because you're not into it, please just give the first 10 minutes a listen, because you never know, this could be your new thing and it could help you in so many ways. Joining me today is Katie Sloan. Katie is a good friend of mine. She's been a friend of mine for years and years now. You're an author. You're the founder of the Celestial Tribe that I'm a member of. That's on katiesloan.com, isn't it? And you're the Crystal Queen, Katie Sloan, everybody.
Thank you. What an amazing introduction. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so, so excited for this episode.
Well, when we said about doing it, I was like, there's no one else. We have to have you. So dead quickly, Katie, tell me a bit about, I mean, I know, but your background. So you've worked in the States, you've worked here. What is it you do for those who are obviously new to you?
I guess I'm a celestial guide. I think that kind of rounds it up. I'm a Reiki master. I work with crystals. I teach meditation. I teach people how to connect to their inner light and how to live their best lives. I teach people that there's so much more to life than the physical and what we see with our physical eyes. And you know, I don't really know what the title for that is, so I've come up with I'm a celestial guide.
You've been my celestial guide, my personal celestial guide for so long, and things have happened in my life that you either told me about, and at the time I've thought, oh my gosh, and you've told me what it meant and why it was happening, and it was all true. Everything is for the greater good, and it's all about timing, and yeah. I think once people are open to that and realising signs are everywhere and this is what's meant to be for you, everyone's just happier, aren't they?
Definitely.
So let's take a look into the secret healing world of crystals and much, much more. Mia keeps seeing my dad. She'll sometimes say, Gangan David came again last night.
Wow.
And Gorka's like, for fuck's sake, Gemma, please tell him no.
And then one morning I was doing my activate with the children, getting moving, lifted my arms up, my crystals come falling out my bra.
Oh, no. And are we all born with a guardian angel?
Oh, yes. Everybody has a guardian angel.
I bet mine in my early 20s, well, you were with me. I bet mine did a few eye rolls. I bet they were like, friggin' hell, Gemma, come on.
Oh, yeah.
This one's not right. Let him go.
Even to skeptics, you know what? What have you got to lose? Just put it to the test. I've literally just seen a gold spark go boom above your head.
No, really?
I'm not joking.
Now, this actually goes way beyond crystals, doesn't it? I mean, we've had a stack of questions in for you, Katie. We've had some voice notes as well. These are the two words I want to start with. White feathers. Because this is a voice note we had from Nicole.
Hi, Jem. Please, can you find out the significance of white feathers? I've been telling my boyfriend for years that they mean something, and he's just having none of it. Love the podcast. Thank you.
So, Katie, over to you. White feathers.
Oh, white feathers, one of the most powerful signs that we will get from the angelic realms. So if you are seeing recurring white feathers, that is the angels giving you a little nudge and just letting you know that everything's going to be okay. It's a comforting sign. It's an uplifting sign. It can also be a sign from loved ones past as well, which obviously, you know, very connected with the angelic realms in that way.
Yeah.
Seeing white feathers is a really magical sign.
And it's things as well, not just people. I actually put on my Instagram the other day, I was hoovering my house and I went into the utility room. There was two white feathers just side by side on the floor,
literally,
but underneath a picture of me with Norman and Ollie.
Oh,
and I'd not long come back from Crufts.
Wow.
So I had the excitement of being surrounded by dogs. But then the journey home, I was a little bit, oh, I've not got my dogs anymore. And literally the day after, I went into the utility and they were just placed side by side.
Wow.
And it's not near an outside door or anything. And I thought, what the heck's that? So it could be from pets as well, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And whether, you know, you look at it like that is a sign from your angels letting you know that Norm and Ollie are doing just fine, or I've literally just seen a gold spark go boom above your head.
No, really?
I'm not joking. It was like, took me up. It distracted me. Yeah.
Hello, Norm. Hello, Ollie.
Yeah, amazing. Boys. So I think there's the answer, whether it is them, like their consciousness, their spirit communicating with you, because they can send those physical signs that we can, you know, relate to in the physical realm. It's all, you know, what we see is just so limited compared to what actually is.
And are we all born with a guardian angel?
Oh, yes. Everybody has a guardian angel.
Really?
At least one.
I bet mine in my early 20s, well, you were with me, I bet mine did a few eye rolls. I bet they were like, friggin' hell, Gemma, come on.
Oh, yeah.
This one's not right. Let him go. And so the angel, so our guardian angel, our angel guide, they're with us throughout the whole, our whole time in this portal, so we say.
Yes, yeah, they guard our souls. So they are with us. They are very linked to our intuition. They guide us. But, you know, you have to be open to receiving that guidance. Like, we all have free will. So it's about, like, inviting in your guardian angel and inviting in their wisdom. You know, if you can just open your heart and mind to that energy, you'll see such a profound shift in your life.
You do. And I remember when you were telling me about it, and it's actually, there's a phrase in your book, and it's about saying, I am ready, I am open, something about letting them know you're ready to receive any messages they have.
Yeah, so just doing like a simple invocation. So I always say this, even to skeptics, you know what have you got to lose? Just put it to the test.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't believe, you don't believe, but just invite them in and see if you see the signs, because there'll be many, and it might just help you to make that shift, you know, onto a higher life path.
I think a lot of people, myself included, I used to have a fear of death. And now my only fear is leaving behind the kids. Before I had kids, it didn't matter. But having these, I mean, none of us know what it's like. So we're fearing something ultimately. Our loved ones could be having the time of their life somewhere else.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they definitely are.
Do you think?
Yeah, oh, 100%. The soul is infinite. So, you know, death really is an illusion. We come here to experience a physical reality. Our body is simply a vessel for the soul.
Mm.
And we learn many great lessons while we're here, and we have the most accelerated soul growth while we're here, because we forget. We come through what they call the veil of amnesia. So we forget where we come from. We forget the higher realms. And that is part of the challenge, is to remember who you are, to remember that you are a soul, that you have this infinite power within you that you can tap into and channel into your life here. You know, it's the blink of an eye, you know, a lifetime here, when you think of just, you know, the infinite nature of the universe, the multiverse, like, it's mind-blowing. But it really is magical when you awaken to the fact that you are a soul.
Yeah.
And that there's angels and guides and loved ones supporting you in your life journey.
Because when someone does pass away, you think, I went to see my dad in the Chapel of Rest. And I remember seeing him in his coffin, and I gave him a kiss, told him how much I loved him and thanked him for being the best dad in the world. And obviously it got me really upset. And my mum said to me, that's not your dad, Gemma. That's your dad. That's your dad's body. Yeah. Your dad's not in there anymore. He's somewhere else. And I've always kept that with me as something comforting in a way. And I think, yeah, because, you know, it's my dad's face, his hair. He was 6'2". He's got his shoes on. But I thought his personality, his heart and the way he loved, his sense of humour, that has to go somewhere, surely.
Yeah.
That can't just stop.
I mean, science will tell you this. Energy cannot be destroyed, right? It cannot be destroyed. It moves on in different forms. And, you know, there's a really fascinating fact, and I can't remember the specific number, but is it 61 grams? Where, you know, the scientists, they when someone dies, their body is like 61 grams lighter, and they can't explain why.
Wow.
And it's the soul, because the soul has left the body. And so, you know, we can always throw in some logical scientific facts to back this up. And I actually love to do that. I love to bridge the science with the spirituality. As woo-woo as it all sounds, science does support it. I've done so much research into this, and obviously, you know, I do a lot of meditations and receive a lot of information in my meditations, but I am was fascinated with near-death experiences. And I read every book you can imagine on near-death experiences. And they all say the same thing. When they go to the higher realms, they don't want to come back. They don't want to come back into the physical because it's so heavy and it's so low vibe here compared to there. Like, they are literally having a ball in those higher realms. They really are.
It does. It makes me so happy that. And it's like, it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to know. And I've read a book on the near-death experiences as well. It was a story in the book. It was a little boy. I think he was only about 7 or 8 and he'd passed away, or so they thought. And his mum was in the room with him and his dad was in the corridor kicking a vending machine, punching this vending machine, you know, very angry. Why my son? He came back. It was near-death experience. He hadn't died. And the dad had said that his little boy had said to him, why were you kicking that machine, Dad?
Wow.
What were you kicking that machine for? And the little boy had said he came up and he went down the corridor and he saw his dad kicking. And then the next thing, he woke up.
Yeah.
So he'd seen it.
And this is like so common with the different near-death experiences. They can all tell you details that they couldn't possibly have known.
Yeah,
that
that's
gone
what he was saying. With numbers, I went through a phase of always seeing the number 33. If I stayed in a hotel room, it had the 33 in it. If I looked at my phone, it was 33. Driving 33 miles an hour. I saw this for about 2 years. I fell pregnant when I was 33. So obviously that was the significance. But is 1111 an angel number and 222?
Yeah, there's lots of different forms of communication that the angels will have with us. And one of them is numerology. They'll send us different number sequences to communicate. So 1111 is the most common that most people see. And that is the angels just letting you know that they're there, a bit like white feathers. Everything's going to be okay. And then we've got like 222, which is very connected with the archangelic realms. And we've got, you know, 444, 333, 333, and that is very connected to higher consciousness, shifting into a higher consciousness. So we can really decode those number sequences when we become aware that they are signs from spirit.
Next, we've got a text. This one is from Kirsty. Hiya, Jem. A friend of mine has been studying angel realm cards. A few of us are quite sceptical, as it seems like a bit of a con. She first got into them on holiday in Spain last year, and at the time we thought she was being conned, but she's not let it go. Sometimes the stuff she tells us seems really believable, but does that mean we're just being conned into it? Now, we have had a few questions, actually, about the angel realm cards, because I've got decks of cards, you know, I have. And I've literally gone to mine when I've had decisions to make in life, when a decision's been made for me and taken out of my hands, and I've thought, oh, my gosh, what's happening? And from a deck of, like, 80-plus cards, the ones that I've picked, they've all made complete sense, whether it right then in that moment or a week or so later. What is it that they do? I mean, they don't, it's not like a definite yes, no, is it? It's kind of a guide.
Yeah, angel cards are amazing. I love angel cards, and I specifically work with angel cards rather than tarot because they're all very uplifting in an angel card. There's no scary cards. I think a lot of people have fear around this subject of like clairvoyance and psychics and all that. Well, angel cards are simply a tool to guide you. And so I know she said about, you know, being scared of being conned, that really that is a fear that she's holding on to of the unknown. I think when people don't understand something, they can be fearful of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's just, you know what, if you're curious, buy a deck of angel cards and sit, just breathe and just ask for guidance. Please give me guidance for whatever it is through these cards. Even if you're just going to split the deck or pull one, your message that you're meant to receive will come through.
When I think I did tell you this, when I was, Norman had been passed probably about a month or so, and he used to have this. It was a red ball, and it's a recovery ball used in training. It's like a trigger point ball, so it's about the size of a tennis ball, but it's red and rubber, and you lie with it on certain points of your body, and it releases them. And there was a running joke in our house. Norman used to always pinch it, And whenever I needed to use it, I'd go and look in Norman or Ollie's toy basket and it'd be there. Mm-hmm. And I was sat and I was doing, there'd been an event on, some showbiz event, and I was sat looking at the dresses and stuff on it for a link we were going to do on air on the radio. And it was at night, I was on my own in bed, and the red ball, hand on heart, rolled from the bathroom to the foot of the bed.
Wow.
And I was like, hello? I went to my angel cards and I'd give them a shuffle and I'd literally said, is there someone who wants to communicate with me? And the card had turned over, it said, yes. The answer to your question is a firm yes. So I thought, oh, it might be my dad. So I did some more shuffling. Genuinely, I said, who is it? What do you want? The second card I picked out, it said, you have a strong bond with pets and all animals. And it showed a picture of an angel with cats and dogs at her feet.
Wow.
And I was just like,
yeah, there you go.
And I genuinely thought,
there's your answer.
Could it be actually possible that Norman had come back, pushed a ball across a room?
Yeah.
Ollie was fast asleep downstairs in his bed at the time. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It was those two cards out of so many.
Oh yeah, that is Norm letting you know he is just fine and you're being just as mischievous.
Yeah, still pinching that red ball.
Yeah, definitely. And your logical mind will always try and come up with a logical explanation. Why has this happened? But you know yourself and like you feel it, don't you? You know that it's the same, you know, with our pets, and pets are very much like guardian angels. Like they come in and they are very powerful guides for us. They teach us so much. Our pets, but we also teach them. It's a two-way street. Like the love that we show them helps their soul to evolve. And so, you know, Norm, not long after passing, he will have definitely been there comforting you. And Ollie is still there as well. And we know that Norm waited for Ollie.
Yes.
It's so complex. Like, and like you say, you know, people will think, oh, this is so woo-woo. But honestly, like when you start delving into this kind of stuff and you realize like, that everything is consciousness and everything is energy. Like this is just like normal. Like, well, of course it was normal. I think that's a really powerful part of your soul mission, Gemma, is to come in and to care and love so deeply towards animals that you raise awareness around, you know, souls around you then take on that empathy for animals. I think it's a really powerful thing what you're doing, and it is like part of your soul mission.
For downloading The Overshare with me, Gemma Atkinson. A very special episode, actually, as we delve into the often unexplored magical world of crystals, angels, numerology, and more. Katie, let me just ask you about the significance of this year, because it's 2025 and it's the number 9, isn't it? Obviously, it's 2 plus 2 plus 5. And 9 being a significant number in numerology, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So 9 represents completion. So this year is huge. It's all about completion, about tying up loose ends, about really preparing for that next big shift collectively and personally, thinking about what that is for you and, you know, moving into higher energies, like releasing outdated habits, timelines, and moving into the new.
So if anyone this year is like going through, you know, a breakup, or they're having to move out the house, or they're losing their job, or something that's not in their control, and they're at that panic stage of, oh my gosh, the reality of it is, it's a good thing, because it's cutting off the old and starting the new.
Definitely, yeah. You've got to embrace it and know that even though at the time things may seem out of control and like, why is this happening? There's always a greater reason. And actually, you've just got to surrender and trust that you are being guided to a higher life path.
Mm.
So there's a positive shift coming.
I always think it's what will be, it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
It's meant to happen.
Definitely.
It's meant to be this way.
It's really important to tune in to nature and to the rhythms of nature and mirror that in your own life, because that's when you will be able to be in harmony.
And bloom with the...
Yeah.
That's the thing, I've never understood how New Year is January, because I always think New Year for me is the daffodils, the baby lambs, the nicer weather. Spring has sprung. That for me feels like the new...
This is the natural New Year.
New beginning, yeah. And with the moon, obviously we're... are we over 70% water?
Yeah.
And so obviously the moon controls the tides and the oceans. Yeah. So we're all affected by the moon. Oh, I mean, yeah. Mia, my daughter's only 5. She got upset yesterday. I was telling producer Matt she didn't want to go into school. And when I said why, she said, I just feel emotional. And I thought, is this moon?
It's the moon, yeah. Well, I always say to our friend Laura, like,
yeah,
you know, the moon, definitely watch the kids around the full moon, because that is where the term lunatic comes from.
Lunar, yeah.
Yeah, it really does. And if you look at, you know, if you look at crime rates around a full moon, they're always way higher.
Mm.
Our brain is the most moistened organ in our body. So talking about how we're made up of mostly water, the brain is the most moistened organ. So the pull of energy on the brain from that full moon, like we feel it, we feel the intensity of it,
yeah.
Whether we're aware of it or not. Like I'm very aware of it now, obviously with the work that I do. I'm like, okay, it's full moon week. Definitely do some extra grounding, extra meditation.
But that's brilliant though. The whole grounding thing. I do that as well. I sleep on a grounding sheet. And the first few nights I slept on it, I was tingly. And I thought, oh my God, is that normal? It turns out it is. But now I have a sleep tracker and my recovery is always high, even if I've had not a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, because of all the detoxing and stuff it does.
Yeah.
And I'm always letting the kids go out bare feet on the grass and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
And that's what our, like the ancients used to do all the time. They were outdoors all the time.
Mm.
You know, we are electrical beings. We need to discharge energy and we can't do it through rubber-soled shoes, right? The energy can't go.
Yeah.
You can only do it through bare feet on the earth. You discharge the energy into the earth. There's science to it. Science to grounding and earthing is incredible. It helps with everything. It helps lower blood pressure, like alleviate stress and anxiety. It's amazing.
So we're joined by another guest now on the Overshare. This is Kelly. You're another flag flyer of what me and Katie already believe in. Tell us why and how you converted your workmates. What's your story?
A few years ago, I started working within my school in a new job role. And it was working with some children that are sort of slightly challenging. And it was a new team, new children. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to work with crystals in my bra and see how that goes. And I do believe that it made a bit of difference. Maybe it made us a bit calmer, I don't know. And then one morning I was doing my activate with the children, getting moving, lifted my arms up, my crystals come falling out my bra.
Oh no.
So there was a quick grab of the crystals from the kids and they're like, what's that? What's that? And my work colleagues was like, what are you talking about? Where have they come from? And I was like, they've come from my bra. And they just was like, you are crackers. You're absolutely nuts. So we all had a giggle and we all had a laugh about it. And sort of nearly 3 years later, we're all walking around with crystals in our bra.
You see, that's the thing. At first, everyone finds it strange and funny. But then when they try it themselves and they realise the benefits, everyone wants to do it. What was it that got you into crystals? What was it that made you think, I'm going to try crystals in my bra?
I've always had crystals around the house since I was a very young age. And I think it was possibly yourself that I saw on the Instagram putting crystals in the bra. And I thought, that's a good idea. That's another way. I've always carried crystals with me. Like when I go on holiday, they come with me. Or whenever I've done anything, I've always got a crystal around. So.
Mm. Well, that's direct from you, Katie, because you told me that you put them in your bra. Yeah. You told me about it. I popped it on Instagram and now Kelly's done it and now Kelly's workmates have done it.
We've spread. The ripple effect of crystals in the bra, it's gone viral. I love it.
Is it because it's near your heart? Because it's on your skin? What is it that makes it work?
I love, you know, wearing I've got a rose quartz in now and an angelite. I love that it's by the heart chakra. But also it's just a great way to have them on you all the time and for you to feel their energy kind of, you know, it's in the higher chakras. So you can keep it in your purse or nearby, but it's just not quite as effective as having them on your body.
Your body.
And the best way to do that is pocket or bra for us women. Bra's the way forward.
Would they let you, Kelly, put any of crystals in school? You said obviously that it's quite challenging with students. Do you put any in that, hide any in the classrooms and stuff?
I probably could put some up high, which might help.
Will children be drawn to crystals?
Oh, children love crystals, yeah. Both of mine have been obsessed with them since they were little, you know, like Tiago's age, just love them. And with my daughter, I'll have like, from well, she's 15 now, can you believe? But she would always make crystal grids with like flowers and things out in the garden. So basically making like gorgeous sacred geometric patterns with like crystals.
Oh, wow.
And they're just so calming for them and grounding. Crystals are amazing for children. They feel very connected and drawn to them as well because they're still open to that world.
And do you do anything else, Kelly? Do you have any angel cards or numerology? Or is it just the crystals?
Yeah, I've got a couple of oracle cards that I have around and sort of play with a bit, and I've attended a few little groups of other people that are sort of like-minded, as well as my sister. She's also my dad. He's the one who started me with crystals. He bought me my first crystal at the Natural History Museum. He bought me an amethyst because it's my birthstone. So it's always been around.
And you say having the crystal in your bra helped it work. In what ways? Did it just make everything calmer or you more tolerant?
Yeah, I think probably a bit of both, a little bit more tolerant, a bit calmer. A nice calming atmosphere is what we try to go for throughout our classroom. And I think it just did just sort of brought that. And we know as well, if one of us haven't got crystals in our bra or something happens amongst my team, we'll say, make sure you get your crystals in your bra, charge them up tonight. And, you know, we sort of remind each other.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. I love that you're a crystal advocate. I really do. And I love the fact that it started with your dad. Real. Thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you for joining us and thank you
awesome.
For tuning
thank
in.
You. Thank you very much
thank
for having
you.
Me.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
So next, we've got another voice note. This is from Lisa. Listen to this.
Hi, Gem. A friend of mine at the gym told me about anxiety crystals. My daughter's really struggling at the moment. We moved house recently and she's changed schools. And I just wonder if there's anything in it. Any suggestions? Cheers.
Anxiety crystals. Well, crystals are significant for there's different crystals for different emotions, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, crystals are amazing for like anything and everything. I say there's a crystal prescription for everything. So anxiety, amethyst is really good. Amethyst is a beautiful purple crystal. It really works with the mind energy and calming that mind energy, so it can really help with anxiety. Rose quartz is beautiful. It's very calming crystal.
You've got some there, haven't you?
I've got some here. Yeah, I actually have got some rose quartz in my bra as well. So rose quartz really good. You can have both of them actually, some amethyst and some rose quartz. And then I always like a grounding crystal for anxiety as well. So a grounding crystal like red jasper or hematite would be really good. And you could have these three crystals kind of on you or around you. And it'll just help to balance the energy.
I have actually got a rose quartz under Mia's mattress. And again, with Tiago, he has in his bedroom, it's a blue crystal. Blue. It's like rose quartz, but blue. And it's in the shape of an angel.
Yes, so lapis lazuli or lapis lazuli.
I have that next to on his windowsill. Sorry, for anyone who wants to, say, start getting into the crystals, like a rose quartz is a good rounded crystal to start with, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really nice, gentle energy. It helps just to open and balance the heart. It's very healing, very calming. It's a great starter crystal. Amethyst is also great.
It's
and clear
one,
quartz. Yeah, amethyst is purple. And clear quartz is a master healer. It's an amplifier of energy. So if you have your clear quartz with your other crystals, it's going to magnify their energy as well. So definitely recommend a clear quartz in there.
You know, with like spirits and loved ones who've passed. So my Nana used to always see, and she told us this story all the time, she used to always see a monk at the end of a bed and he just used to slide across and go behind the wardrobe. And as a little girl, she saw him, and my mum's told it me as well, and she eventually found out that her great-granddad was a monk. So they think it was something to do with that anyway.
Yeah.
There was something there. And my mum never had anything like that. I have always seen things. I've seen my dad loads of times. I've seen my grandma, and it's always in my dreams and things happen in my house. You know, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
And it frightens Gorka to death because he's been with me when things have happened.
Wow.
My nephew, so my sister's middle child, he sees things a lot. And Tyler was the one who he got very poorly with meningitis. He was in the intensive care unit. And my dad came in and said, I don't know if there's anything out there, but if there is, take me instead. He's only a baby. He deserves to live type thing. Months later, my dad dropped dead of a heart attack. Tyler's survived, came out of it. So we've always said there's parts of my dad within Tyler. Tyler saw, he had a really vivid dream of my grandma. And when my grandma died, it was up to me and my sister to sort everything because it was obviously my dad's mum. My dad wasn't here. My mum and dad are divorced. And we put her in a green cardigan and gave her a brooch that she used to wear. And obviously we sorted it all out. We didn't let the kids see her in the coffin or anything because they were only young. But Tyler came to us and said, oh, I saw grandma in the night. And we're like, what do you mean you saw grandma? He said, yeah, she was chatting to me. She's, you know, and he was only like a young lad at this point. He must have been about 5. And I said, oh, right. And I said, what did she look like? And he said, she had a green cardi on. He said, and she had a badge on. And he had no idea that we'd never discussed it with him at all. We'd never said, oh, we put your great grandma in this. And I said to Nina, how funny it's gone from Nana to me to Tyler. Mia's always chatting away in a bedroom at night, always.
Wow.
So is there anything in, it's not a gift, I don't want to call it a gift, but an intuition within families?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it runs in families for sure. My nan, we used to say she was a witch.
Really?
Yeah. She would like get rid of, my dad was always freaked out because he had a wart on his finger and she went, right, there you go. Don't look at it. Don't give it any attention. And it would just go. He used to say to me, your nan's a witch. But yeah, it definitely runs in families. That intuitive kind of gift does run through the ancestral line. Yeah. And you know, with you saying about like your nan seeing the monk, and that was her great granddad,
yeah,
is that right?
Something like
so,
that.
So I would say that her great granddad was coming in as a guide for her in that lifetime. We are in soul families and we have you know, ancestral karma to play out, and you know, we're each learning from each other. But when one passes, you can then come in and be a guide for someone
who's still here.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like that story with your dad and Tyler is heartbreaking, but it's also really beautiful as well, don't you think?
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe they had an agreement before they even came in to this incarnation. They had an agreement that, and because your dad, he knew that he was going to pass at that time, like his higher self knew. Obviously, he didn't know in his...
Yeah.
You know, is physical self, but we have like the soul, the higher self.
Yeah.
We all know on a higher level when that day is going to be because it is in our soul contract. This is what I believe to be true. And I've done extensive research as well, like that supports this as well. And so I believe that your dad and Tyler had that agreement. And actually through that happening, through that taking place, there was this ripple effect throughout the entire bloodline, the entire family of awakening to the fact that there was this really beautiful exchange of love between those two souls.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a really strong guide for Tyler. And I've got, I can feel the energy now. Like, yeah.
Is it out of the three, Hadley, Tyler and Anushka, Tyler is my dad.
Wow.
We always say he's got the same almond-shaped head. They look the spitting image. Like Nina will send me a picture of Tyler and say, who's this? And I'll be like, and I'll even show my mum and she'll say, bloody hell, that's your dad.
Wow.
And it's just, and it's funny because Tyler saw my grandma, who's my dad's mum. Mia keeps seeing my dad. She'll sometimes say, Gang and David came again last night.
Wow.
And Gorka's like, for fuck's sake, Gemma, please tell him no. I don't like it. He like really freaks Gorka out. I love it.
Find it exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually used to be quite fearful of it.
You must see them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, because, well, now I'm aware of the power of the angelic realms and the very high vibrational light that is around us. It makes everything easier. I was always very afraid of the darkness and of, like, you know, lower energies. But one thing that I will say is when you open yourself up to the angelic realms, that fear of the dark goes, because you know that you're always being supported and protected and guided. Yeah. So I can relate to it in a way, because I shut down my gift for years through fear.
Really?
It was only really when I became pregnant with Gracie, my daughter, that I awakened to everything. She was always supposed to come in and shift me onto that path, because before I fell pregnant with Gracie, you know, I was on the fashion track. I was a fashion designer, showed my collection at London Graduate Fashion Week. I did Project Catwalk. I was a designer on that. And then she came in and my life just shifted so dramatically, and she reawakened me to all of this. And I just wouldn't have it any other way, because life is honestly just so different now that I am aware of the beautiful energies that are around us.
This is your first book, isn't it? Celestial yes. Goddess Rising.
Yes, you're I'm writing my second at the one. Moment, yeah.
And see, I've opened it on a page just straight away.
Jules.
With Michael, Raphael, I can never pronounce that one.
Zadkiel
and Uriel.
Yeah.
The divine, it's masculine angels. Divine I don't know what that says about angels. Me.
Would you?
That's the page I've opened it on.
You're both divine feminine and divine masculine. And that's actually what I say in the book. It's about balancing those two energies. And that's how we come into that place as well, Gemma. So it's super powerful that, you know, you've got such a strong energy. You've got a strong masculine energy, but a really strong divine feminine goddess energy as well. And that is what makes you so powerful, you know, and the fact that you can come to that place of neutrality, that is where we want to be. You want to be balancing those two energies within. Everybody has those two energies within. It's like the yin and the yang. It's the left and the right hemispheres of the brain, you know, balancing the logical with the intuitive. It all equates to the same thing, the masculine feminine energies. And that's what we need to balance to in the heart and mind to reach enlightenment, which is our path of light, where we you know, where we evolve to such a level that we actually don't have to go through all of those really tough challenges.
That makes me feel better, because I wasn't crying at Mia's Christmas nativity last year. I was watching it thinking, she looks beautiful. But then everyone around me was sobbing, and I was like, oh.
Gemma, you're not a sheep. You've never been a sheep. You need to be proud of that.
And for your book, again, katiesloane.com, is that where they can get this book from?
Well, actually, best way to get it is probably through Amazon, because Prime, you know, next day delivery.
Yes.
So that's your best bet to order it and get it quick.
You've got a celestial tribe that I'm part of, our friends are part of. So you do meditations. It's every month nearly, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes I do one weekly. Live class. I know. Well, yeah, if you're in the tribe, then I do recorded classes as well that you can just catch up on your own time. But I do one live class at the end of every month. It's normally the last Sunday of every month.
Yeah.
And yeah, we really go on a journey, and you see all kinds as you open that third eye. But you know what I say? It's just an opportunity to commit to nurturing your inner light. And we all need that in a world where everything is so tumultuous and there's just technology everywhere. We need that detox. And the best way to do that is to get out in nature, to breathe deeply, to meditate, to get your crystals on the go.
Yeah.
You know, and all of these tips I put in this book, because this book really is a journey of awakening. It kind of echoes my journey of awakening, and it will help anyone who's interested in this kind of thing on their journey.
And I have to quickly say, really quickly, when we did a group meditation with Katie, I was 7 weeks pregnant, wasn't I, on one of them? And I hadn't told anyone other than, obviously, Gorka knew, and my mum. And you said during it that the baby energy had come in.
Yeah.
And there was loads of us on there. And it was only afterwards Katie messaged me and said it was for you, this baby energy.
Yeah.
So if you want to get pregnant, it'll happen. If you are, congrats. And I went back to you and said, I'm 7 weeks pregnant. And I was. And then a couple of weeks before my gender scan, I said to you, do you know what it is? You said, yeah, do you want to know? And I said, yes. And you said, it's a baby boy. And he's going to have lots of masculine energy. And he's
your dad.
He's parts of your dad.
Yeah.
And again, I had the scan. And she was right.
Oh, so, I love that story. But you know, in that meditation, I remember it really profoundly because I was seeing lots of white light around you. And Archangel Gabriel is very connected with white light. And Archangel Gabriel often will come in if there's a child, you know, on the, you know, wanting to come through, if someone's pregnant, Gabriel will kind of be there. So I thought, oh, this is interesting. And then I really felt like this kind of playful boy energy. And I thought, she's gonna have a little boy.
Menace
but I didn't know that you were pregnant at that time. That was just what I kind of felt, and I thought, should I tell her? But what I've learned over the years is just always speak your truth, even though if sometimes it might not work out or people don't understand it, just say it anyway.
Yeah,
because that magic happened, you know, you were really excited to get that message. And if I hadn't told you, you would have then told me, and I would have gone,
oh,
I knew that.
Told it, yeah,
should have told her.
I already knew. I really, really hope that if you tuned in and downloaded this episode, whether you're a skeptical and bewildered, I hope that you've learned something or even just discovered something about the magical world that's helped me through so much genuinely. Like Katie said, there is so much more than meets the eye. And if we can just tap into our inner goddess and just be open to it. Before we go as well, I want to be clear that at no point am I recommending any of the suggestions in this episode to be used in place of any medical treatments. Obviously, our advice from the Overshare is always consult with a GP with any medical conditions. Thank you, Katie. Tell me one last time how people can find out more about you, where they can find you, your website.
So people can find me by my website, katiesloane.com, on Instagram at katiesloane. Actually, I do just want to say I am bringing out an app very soon. I haven't got a launch date yet, but it will be soon. And on there will be crystal meditations for kids.
Oh, brilliant.
Obviously for us, but for kids, which is just so good for them.
They did that in schools and stuff.
It would be amazing. You know, I actually have got a dream, and that is to bring crystals and meditations into the classroom to help kids to focus and ground their energy and just de-stress, because I just feel like in this day and age,
It's a lot
for them to deal
with. Exams and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That is episode 11. Genuinely episode 11.
Wow.
Producer Matt, even that in itself is special. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. There's one more to go in our second series, unless, of course, you've listened completely out of order. Then only you know where you're up to and what you're listening to. But thank you nonetheless. The Overshare is produced by Matt Foister and Molly Carter for Bauer Media. I'm Gemma Atkinson. This is Katie Sloane. See you next time on The Overshare.
You can overcome anything and come through the other side. Everything is temporary.
I read a quote and it said, ships are safe in the harbour, but that's not what ships were made for. And I thought, it's so true. You have to get out there and experience. And I always think as well, what helps keep me balanced is to never celebrate the highs so high and to never dwell on the lows so low. So you keep everything balanced, as in, like, if a great job came in, or, you know, even when we found out we were pregnant, I was like, this is brilliant. This is happening. Let's go with it. But I think to celebrate the highs too much, the only way is down if you go all the way up. And then if you get sucked into the negative too much, you bring yourself to the point where your physicality and everything changes. So some people say you don't get chuffed about anything, or you don't get sad about anything. And I do, but I just never let it internalize how I'm dealing with things, because you remain in a good place.
You never take it to the extreme.
Yeah.
This is really advanced, you know, Gemma. I'm like, wow, this is the Buddha from your past life coming through.